Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Things like that, as we can. We want people to know, not that we like dressing up, but we truly do celebrate being multicultural. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. And we've got people from around the world. Over there, we've got Eddie, who's a Jew, isn't it? Messianic Jew, but he just doesn't know it yet, okay? I'm from southern England. Have we got anyone from another part of the world? Liverpool. That is the other part of the world, isn't it? Hey, come on. Up north. Where are you from, Lloyd? No, come on. Was it ancestral? Jamaican. We got any other Jamaicans in the house? Oh, look at that. We're heavily Jamaican in here. Did you know that? Wagwan. Is that where it's from? I haven't got a clue what we're saying, but that's nothing unusual. Anyone from another part of the world? Ghana, look at that. Yeah, we have got a guy called John Peepy out there. Loads of churches were part of us, and they're kind of still a family, though. And that, praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yeah, we... Algeria. I don't know, but we're celebrating different... yes, lady? Trinidad and Tobago, come on. I always say this, you guys that come from hot countries, right? What are you doing in this freezing cold country? Man, you've got everything out there, do you know what I mean? Jerk chicken, you've got coconuts, you've got beaches, and you're stuck in this country. But there you go. But so we celebrate, don't we, just the diversity of it, the love that's shared and all that. Hey, Barry, what's going on with the cricket world anyway? We'll ask him. I thought it was fun. Anyway, so here we go. We're going to continue this series of Signs of the Kingdom. I don't know whether you knew we started it last week, but wasn't Angela's preach last week really cool? Yeah, let's give her a big round of applause. Encourage Angela. Come on. That was fantastic. And if you haven't had a Zozo yet, they're amazing. You really will meet with the presence of God. And so text her up. I know she'll love me saying that, but there you go. Okay, Adam's going to read from John, the book of John. It's your favourite one, I'm sure.
Yeah, so this is John 17, verses 20 to 23. This is Jesus praying, before he goes to the cross. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me.
Amen. Well done, Adam. Come on. Woo. And you just thank these guys as well. You know, Adam getting here early and Gemma and the rest of the team. These guys are wonderful. They're the ones who set everything up. They get everything prepared for us. And it's just great to see new people rising up to carry. I can only move to straddle this church and Basildon if you guys raise up. Okay, and that's what's happening. And me doing that gives other room for others to shine and move on in their faith as well. And it won't be the last church plant that comes out of this church. I know it's not. But I just love it when I see other people rising up and saying, you know what, God, I'm going to get serious with you. What really grieves me before I move on is when I see people that are so talented and they give themselves to the things of this world and not to God. And it's like, if only you would give yourself to the things of God, you would find that the things of this world will flourish. That's what the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God. But you guys are doing so well. So here we go. So that Bible verse is there that Adam read out. That was from Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Now, you've got to picture this. He was praying to the Father in heaven that we would be one, look back at how many times in that little passage he mentions the word one. One means together. You know, as one like the Godhead, like the Father, like the Son, like the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be in the unity that they share. And so it would be good for us to ask ourselves the question right at the start, how are we doing? How do you think we're doing? With that. So let's look at the Godhead and how does their unity look? So first of all, they've never ever disagreed once. They've never fallen out, Father, Son and Spirit. They've never ever had an argument. They've never got the ump with anyone else in the Trinity. They love each other always perfectly, perfectly happy, always in a Trinity. Perfectly one. I kind of sense we're not quite there yet. Yeah, we're not like quite there. And so the question comes in, okay, how do we get better at what we're doing? And I will say that, you know, at the Well Church, we're doing well at this. There's so much love in this room. You see it this morning, every time you come here. It's just great to see how we get on with each other. But where do we start if we want to get better at it? Well, the first place we start is our identity. And let me take you through that now. So at the beginning of time in Genesis 1:26, God did this. He said within the Trinity, all agreeing on this, let us make man in our image. And so we were made like God. We're in the image of God. We were made of a higher plane than the animals. And so we're on a higher scale. We have the qualities of God in us. Yeah, more than we see in the animal world. So we are very much like God, the pinnacle of God's creation. And then Genesis 3:20 says that Adam named his wife Eve, and she became the mother of all the living. Can we say all? So all the living. She's the mother of all of us. Every single person in this room. And then if you look at Acts 17:26, it says that every nation came out of one man. Every nation on earth came out of Adam. And so Adam is the dad of every single person that has ever been born. That means that we have got the same parents. The same parents we all came from, wherever you came from around the world, we originate from the same genes. And so back then, at the beginning of time, we see that we were just one nation until we saw at the Tower of Babel, where people again wanted to do without God. They built a tower that would go up to the heavens. And God said, no, we're going to scatter them. So he scattered them around the world and mixed up their languages. Why did he do that? Well, let me show you. What he did it for was that cultures would rise up. He put people in very, very different lands of the world. Try to go back there in your mind. What did it look like at the time? So he sent them out. He sent them into desert lands. He sent them into hot countries, cold countries, lush countries, countries with loads of resources and some with sparse resources. But they all had to cultivate the land that God had placed them in. Yeah, does that make sense? So whatever iron ores or metal ores were in the ground, they had to cultivate it out. Whatever trees they could use, whatever landscape, whatever animals they could breed, that this all built up their culture that they were in, so that there are many, many cultures around the world. And so there are different foods that have been brought forth around the world. There are different arts from around the world, different music like we heard this morning, different clothes, different hairstyles from around the world. Did you know, Lloyd, that I had an afro once? Did you know that? I forgot all about it till this guy, I went to the gym yesterday and they had an afro, and I said, I've got to ask you. I said, you're not hot underneath all that, you know, it's like up here. And then I remember, no, I had one of them when I was about 19. I looked absolutely pathetic, I've got to tell you. You know, it's one of them photographs you think, please don't ever, ever show that to anyone. I promise you, if I find it, I'll show you, right? But I was just like a pretty boy, you know what I mean? It was like, but yeah, so I had an afro once, you know, there you go. But so we do, though. We have different everything from around the world. Can you see what God is doing there? God loves diversity. You know, I can't imagine what it must have been, you know, being birthed in somewhere like one of the North Pole or South Pole where they eat maggots as a delicacy. You know, I wouldn't call that a delicacy, but there you go. You see, but why did he do it? Why did he do it? Because God loves diversity. Look at the animal world, how diverse it is. So are we, human beings, made in his image, but we are so, so different from each other. And then we get to the New Testament. So we're scattered all around the world. We've developed our own culture from around the world. But then God calls us back together. At Pentecost, it came. We are now born again. If you've got Christ in you, you are born again. And we are born into a new humanity. Something that never was before. We are born into that. Where Christ now lives in our hearts. We are made new creations in him. We have one spirit. The Holy Spirit in us. Jesus lives in our heart by faith now. And we have the same Father in heaven. Did you know that those that haven't accepted Christ into their heart, the Father is not their Father. It's not. We get to become children of God when we get born again and get right with God. And so we are now one nation that God is drawing out of all the nations to be one family in Christ. That's what the church is. One true nation. God's true nation. I met a Jewish guy the other day and went through it with him. This is what we believe the story was. Abraham was called. He was an idol worshipper. This was Abraham. Yeah, he didn't know God, but God called him. And then out of him came the nation Israel, where their job was to show the rest of the world what God was like, loving and caring and all the rest of it. But actually, they got deviated, and they were worshipping everything, cows, moon, crops, everything, as well as God. And God hated that. And so he started to, you know, and after the fall, he started to speak about a Messiah coming. And this Jew was going, really, that's what you believe? I said, yeah, it's all in Isaiah 53. Go and read it. A lot of them won't read it because they know it speaks about Jesus. And so we believe as Christians that as we move forward in through the Old Testament, the Messiah actually came. Jesus was and is the Messiah. And at that point, the Jewish nation took themselves out because they refused. Well, actually, the first Christians were Jews. Okay, but as a whole, the nation hasn't. But Hebrews 11 tells us they will in the end. They will accept him as the Messiah. Then there will be a worldwide revival around the world, and then the end will come. This is our story, guys. This is who we are, sons and daughters of the living God. One true nation, one true people of the same spirit. Can I hear a glory to that? Glory, when you see all the division that's happening out there. This is who we are. Yeah, this is who we are. Now, we'll say this, that the world, we're not perfect. Did you know that? You know, we are not a perfect church. We're doing well, but we are not perfect. If you are looking for the perfect church, did you know as soon as you walk through the door, it becomes imperfect? Did you know that? Yeah. Because that's just the way it is. Who is it? Groucho Marx, a comedian, said this, that I refuse to join any club that would have me as one of their members. You know, funny guy. And that. But we're all works in progress. We're not going to be perfect until we get there. Yeah. On the way, God is transforming us. That's what happens. But here we see in this passage there that Jesus, what was so dear on his heart, was for him to pray to the Father, Father, they're in enemy territory down here. There's going to be distractions and strife and all stuff happens. But God, will you help them to be one? Help them to be one as we are one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was so dear to his heart. And so Jesus died. What was the main reason? Because he wanted a family. And that's us. You look around. That's you. That's me. Why it was us, I come, as I say, from Basildon, and I look around there at the amount of my friends, about, say, 200 of the people I knew, 10 of them might be born again. Why did he choose us? I feel so privileged. And we're so easy for us to forget all that God has done for us. Where would we be without that? So Jesus died to birth a family, to birth his church, to be one people from all nations that are living in perfect harmony. And two things I'll draw out of that. Why? The verse there says, so that the world will believe. So that the world believes. And so our love together, all that we are together, as we share love and we're together and we share all our differences, that very thing, as we can love each other in our differences, shows the world what God is like. You know, our mission statement, we exist to show the people, to transform the people of London and beyond by showing them who God really is. We need to show them who God really is. And that's what Jesus was saying, that they would believe because they see all that we are in unity. And the second thing, why it's so important that we love each other in that way, is that in Ephesians 3:10 it says that the multifaceted wisdom of God is then displayed to the powers and the principalities and the rulers in the heavenly realms. And so there are rulers and powers that oppose God in heaven. They hate us loving each other. They hate us being together as one. And God loves it. He delights in it, like that word that came through this morning. He delights his heart. He knows, and all the powers and principalities know, that one day they will end up in the lake of fire. And God loves it because we're showing the love that Jesus was praying for there. And so as citizens of heaven, that is where we belong. It's for us to live out that culture today and show the world really who God is, unified, loving family of God. Can I hear a glory to that? Basildon, if you're listening, can I hear a glory there? Ted and Tony, I know you'll be doing it, and Wendy and the others. Come on. And so living that out, we're just going to get a bit truthful now. Living it out is not going to be easy in a fallen world where we come from such diverse backgrounds, coming out of lockdown that has chewed our minds up. Even I was going nuts at the end of it, just being locked down. It's not going to be easy. But God didn't leave us alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to live in us. That's the presence of God to live in us. The Comforter. God, you know, the God of peace, the Prince of Peace, lives in us. And so the love that he's asking for isn't a normal love for you or a normal love for me. This is a supernatural love that we cannot love each other and have unity like that ourselves. It's God in us that produces us, that produces that. And guys, what I'm really sensing is that over the last few weeks, is that God wants us to tune into his Holy Spirit. He wants us to do what he's asking us to do. Listen to it. Yield to the things that he's asking us to do. Come out of sin. Come out of the areas that we know we shouldn't be. Come out of apathy and just start saying, okay, God, bit at a time, I'm going to start doing what you've asked me to do. This is our God. This is the Spirit that's within us to draw out what truly is life within us. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1:10. That I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that all of you agree that there are no divisions amongst you, that you're united in one mind, one purpose. This is what we're all about. We are a family and we celebrate that. We are on mission to show the world what God is like. These are the things that hold us together. Everything else fits around that and the gospel. And so this was a real plea from Paul. Because of Jesus, we work at this. We work hard at this. Don't let divisions get in the way. Why? Because divisions ruin unity. They ruin the flow of the love of God and the presence of God amongst us here today. And it ruins friendships when we let that stuff in. The problem is, when we see around the world today, divisions everywhere. Divisions in the world, and even divisions, unfortunately, in the church. Especially divisions in the world with racism. Yeah, it's awful. It's the plague of today. It's the leprosy of today. And it doesn't seem to be getting better out there. It just keeps rearing its head. Recently in football and sport, you see it there. Why do people do that? It's disgusting and it's wrong. And we need to say that it's so wrong. But it's found in every culture. I was reading a book recently that spoke about in the Hindu world, in India, and they've got something called the caste system, where they worship this kind of statue where the head, so they've got, I think it's five different classes of people. The elite people represent the head of this statue. Then you've got three middle-class kind of people come out of the body end, and then you've got two people that come out of the feet and the legs. And they're seen and treated as less than human. Refuge, absolute refuge. And it's so bad to that when they grow up in them cultures that when we get missionaries go in there, when they're working with those that have been told you are worse than rubbish, outcasts, don't speak to them, don't have anything to do with them, that's what they're treated like. It takes years. You see, Jesus is the leveler. He levels every. We're all in the image of God. Can I hear a glory to that? But it takes years for them to accept that actually I'm the same as the elite. And it takes years for the elite, even once they've accepted Christ, to get to the place where they realize that I'm not elite over these refuse, that I'm actually the same. And God is that. Where Christianity takes that into every culture. You are all sons and daughters of God in Christ. You're all made in the image of God. And there is no one higher. Even Jesus made himself the same as us. Called himself a brother to us. So he's the leveler. But I want to ask, have you been treated like you are less than human? It happens in so many areas, particularly the race issue at the minute. God wants you to know that you are loved in this place for who you are, for who God created you to be. Yeah, I'm looking out here now. See Angela, you know, Chinese descent and that. So they're getting it now because COVID came out of China, so they're getting it. It doesn't stop, guys. It's a real cancer in the human race that's got to stop. Well, it certainly stops here, because in this place you're going to be loved for who God created you to be. You are God's treasured possession. When you wake up and know that every day, it transforms your life. Move on. And so there's so much love in the world, here. Talk about here, okay? But the truth is that fallouts will come. Discouragements will come. It's just the way it is. None of us are perfect, but it's how we deal with it that matters. And it's not easy amongst us. So there's four things I want us to know, okay, that will help us. First of all, be real with yourself. You're not going to be everybody else's best mate, and you don't have to be, but we do have to love each other. We're different chemistry. Yeah, some will click with, some not, but we don't become a clique. We love everybody. That's the first one. Just prepare yourself and know you it's okay to be you. You don't have to change them. Holy Spirit does that. Secondly, Romans 14:9 says, let us aim for harmony and to try to build each other up. That's what Paul's... So our aim is unity. You're very different. You're very different from me. And we might struggle and rub each other up a little bit, but actually our aim is unity. We've got to think the best of each other, guys. It won't just happen. See people as God sees them and give each other encouraging words, especially as God gives them to you. You know, when I go to preach at Trinity Church, do you know what? It's like I'll get nervous sometimes. I just, you know, especially on when I first went up. They're not now. They're like another family to us and that. But Jerry, the guy there, Duncan's number two, he would be so encouraging. You know, this is a guy at the top of the tree. You know, he runs a school of 1,000 and there are other schools that relate in because he's... But I've seen that man relate to the top of the tree and those at the bottom. He's just the most wonderful, encouraging person. It's so important we give encouraging words. Lloyd gave one to Tony in Basildon. He said recently, and I heard it, he said, Tony, you've got everything in you that you need. And do you know how much Tony needed to that? He's been out of the game for a while. And we've been saying, come on, pick the guitar up again, do that again. He's doing fantastic. That word has really helped him. And he's going to be leading worship here on the 8th of August. Let's give him a round of applause. Come on, Tom. But you see, it's the encouraging words that release people like that. Thirdly, we need to focus on things that we have in common. There's so many differences. I won't go through them. Different backgrounds, different shapes, different sizes, different nations, different likes and dislikes. You know, I was thinking about, Debbie likes pickled onions. Why would anyone want to eat them? Yeah, she watches, what's that program? Emmerdale. Well, she did until the dingles got cut out and then she don't think it's funny. And what's the other one? Heartbeat. She's got a real heart for the fella. There's something, I'm a bit jealous over that one, all right? Yeah. Man, and all the girly stuff she watches, it's like, man, why would you ever want to watch that stuff? You know, but I do, you know, the proper husband is like, I'll put a little girly one on for Debbie now and again and we'll watch it and all that Bambi and stuff like that. But we are so different, aren't we? Yeah, I could be a real horrible husband and say, now, we're not going to watch your stuff. We're not going to do that stuff. But we've worked it out. And that's what we have to do. But we need to focus more on the things that we do together. There's loads of stuff that we do together, me and Deb. But if you are in Christ, if Christ is in your heart, Paul said, look, think about this. You are all one. So did you know that? You are one with every person in this room that is born again. You've got one body. There is one spirit in you right now. Jesus, we have one hope, hope of glory. Can I hear a glory? Yeah, we are all called. Did you know that? You are all called by God. We have one baptism keeping us together. We have one faith. We have one Father and we have one destiny in heaven. We're all going to be there together. These things are what should keep us together. And fourthly, we value our differences. That we enjoy and celebrate our differences. We don't just put up with them. You know, if they're bad and sinful, we help our brothers and sisters to take the little splinter out of their own eye while we're taking the log out of our eye. That's what Jesus said. But we're in it together. But you see, we start to enjoy diversity, the beauty of it all. But diversity, unity doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't mean that we've got to be the same as everyone else. You know, we're not clones other than to Jesus, yeah? It's okay to be yourself, be you, who God created us to be. But what about those who really get on our nerves? I wonder who you're thinking about when you... Yeah, come on. Does anyone want to say? No, don't say. All right. Well, yeah, please don't say. Okay, what about those who really rub you up? Come on, let's be honest, right? People do, don't they? I know I really get on Deb's nerves sometimes, and she really gets on my nerves. Yeah, I'm just being real. How do you train people to be married well, eh? Me and Debbie get up here and portray this perfect couple, this lovey-dovey, and like that. Huh? It's not. We'll let you see us have a row. We'll let you see us fall out with each other. You know, she might want pink something, pink. Her mum made her wear pink once, right? She was such a tomboy, wouldn't you? You was. And her mum hated it. She wanted a daughter. She went, you will be my daughter. And she made her wear a pink outfit, an horrible. And she won't wear pink at all now, will you? She won't. And there's another story. I won't go into that for time. Anyway, where was I? What was I talking about? Help me out. Yeah, so the thing is, it's real. We fall out, but the thing is, we fall out well. It's like, I know that however we've fallen out, within 10 minutes, Debbie's forgotten about it. Now, I'm not, right? I remember everything. Yeah, I do. But I've learned that, well, if she's forgotten about it in 10 minutes, why do I carry it on? So I'll let it go, and then we have a good rest of the night, and I'm not going to go any further than that. So there we go. So, but that's it. We're just honest with each other. But what do you do with those that are irritating us? Okay. They will be here. And, yeah. So Ephesians 4:2 says this. Look, we're to live with all. Please say all. All humility and gentleness and patience with each other in love. And so, church, we're made up of real people. I can't stand it. I was part of a where it's all, hello, how are you doing? And everyone said, yeah, I'm doing fine. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm doing well. Inside, you're going, I'm dying inside and I can't tell anyone. We need someone we can be real with as well as, you know, this makes it work, guys. So I've completely lost myself, don't know where I am there. So, and I don't care, really. So there are some issues there. Pride, okay? First one we're going to look at is humility. But pride ruins it all. Pride makes us look down on people, get critical with people, and then we get into competition. I've got to be the best. I've got to be the first. First one to do everything, and it kills friendships. Yeah, we don't want to do that. No, humility says, I'm just the same as you. I might be standing here doing all this stuff. I've got stuff that I'm dealing with and working through. I'm not what I was years ago, but God has worked with me. But I'm not perfect. I struggle too. So I'm humble with my friend or neighbour who hasn't come as far as I have. They haven't had time yet. Jesus hasn't had time to work on them yet. And that's one of the other parts. But then secondly, a gentleness wouldn't demand, you know, why are you like you are so annoying? It doesn't ask that. It says, what happened to you? How did you become like you are? That's what it means to be gentle with someone and come alongside them. And impatience means that it's going to take time. I know that you're not as far down the line. Or you're irritating because you're much further down the line than me. It's all a time issue that we know and we allow for these things. And then lastly, love. Love will come. It's a doing word. Did you know that? It will mean that we come alongside each other. And we say, look, where can I help you? Where can I do this journey with you? You're not alone. And we all need to hear that. And so if we want the world to look like heaven, we must have no prejudices, no factions, no cliques, no biases. And we all have a part to play in that, each one of us. Jesus died, Ephesians 2:16. He died to end the hostility. That's what it says. No more Duke, no more Greek, no more black, no more white, no more old, no more young, no more male, no more female. None of that. Educated, uneducated, just one in Christ. And as we gather together like this, the world is a real place of acceptance and togetherness. You cannot do it on your own. Lockdown would say, stay away from church. Be safe at church. It's time to come out, church. If not now, when? The government said, I agree with that. We're cautious. We're careful. But it's time that we could create this place, allow the Holy Spirit to create this place of acceptance and togetherness and care and concern and compassion. You cannot do it on your own. And learning to love each other in all gentleness, patience and understanding. That was Jesus' deepest desire before he died. He cried out, God, would you help them to be one? Are you up for that, church? Can I hear an amen to that? Can we please stand? That'd be really cool. Thank you, Lord. And if you don't know Jesus in your heart, you can ask him in today. You can have him as your Lord and Saviour. You can become part of the family of Christ today. But for others that have accepted Christ, guys, you cannot have this unity by trying yourself. I'm looking around the room and probably seeing many where you've tried it yourself and it's failed and you've perhaps been hurt. And it's time to let that go. Let it go. It's what Jesus said, I've come to heal hearts, heal broken hearts. That's what he wants to do today. But first off, know that your identity. Know that God loves you. He created you. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. You're a wonderful creation, a work of art that actually says there. So know that you are a son of God. Know that we're going to be together forever in eternity. Know that from the start. We're born again into a family that's going to be together. And if you've been treated less than human, there's so much of that in that world. If you've suffered racism, abuse in some kind of way, guys, lift it to God. Let's be honest with God. David patterned this out for us. He was honest with God about what went on in his heart. Renew a right spirit within me. He didn't want to carry the weight of abuse and wrongness. He got turned on so many times. He gave it to God. It's time to give it to God. Vows, accusations, divisions, unrest in the heart. He wants to take it today. Rejections, the pains, the memories. God will erase them. Take the pain, turn them into something new. It's what he does. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just come on us. Let's just raise our hand to receive from the Lord.